The gospel reading today, we hear a line that takes most people by surprise. That is, Jesus tells us to make friends for yourselves with the mammon of wickedness, so that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting dwellings. We would ask ourselves, why would our Lord tell us to do such a thing? Well, we have to look at the context of this and what it is that he's telling us. He tells us about this unjust steward who's stealing from his master, and he is getting fired, and he's looking out for himself, because that's what worldly wisdom is all about. The master commends him for his wisdom. The master is obviously a man who is interested in money, and so he sees somebody else who is being unjust with money. Probably sees it very similar to what he himself is doing. I've ripped off other people, and you just ripped me off. Congratulations, that was pretty smart. That was really wise. Look at what you did. You just took care of yourself. That is worldly wisdom. St. Paul reminds us that very few among those whom God has chosen are wise in the ways of the world. So it is exactly what Jesus tells us in the gospel, that the people of this world are more wise than the children of the light. That is, wise in the things of the earth. But wisdom from above is something entirely different. St. James speaks about that, and St. Paul as well, in telling us that the wisdom of the world is foolishness in the eyes of God. But the same thing works the other way. The wisdom of God is foolishness in the eyes of the world. So why would Jesus now be telling us to make friends with ourselves with unrighteous mammon? What that means, essentially, is if you have obtained something unjustly, you could be sitting on a pretty good bank account right now that you got by wrongful means. What are you going to do with it? You can say, well, it's mine. I got it, and I'm passing it on to my kids, and I'm building a mansion with it. The Lord's saying, look, if you got this by ill-gotten gain, use it for something good. Give it to the poor. Do something that's going to be positive. And we listen to that, we recognize that the Lord is actually telling us something that once again sounds a little bit odd. Because he says, do this so that when you fail, that they will welcome you into everlasting everlasting habitation. It's like, wait a minute, why is he telling us that? He's telling us this because we don't start out as saints. We start out tragically with worldly wisdom, which is selfishness. And so even if we're going to have a conversion, the beginning of that conversion process is still very selfish. And so he's saying, all right, if you want to be selfish, then at least use what you have for a positive gain, even if it's selfish. What happens as you continue to grow in holiness is that that selfishness becomes further and further removed. You look at the saints. They do all kinds of extraordinary things, but there's no selfishness in it. They aren't looking out for themselves. They're not saying, oh, if I do this, I get a higher place in heaven. If I do this, I get more indulgences. If I do this, I have greater merit. They don't care about that. But in the early stages of our spiritual life, maybe we do, and maybe for good reason. because we know that what we have done by ourselves has earned us a pretty deep place where we don't want to go. So we need all the help we can get just to be able to get out of there and get as much on the right side as we can. But initially, that's the case. That may be still where many of us are. But what we want now is to grow. If we have things that are ill-gotten, yeah, use them for something good. Don't be selfish with it. Even if your motive in doing something good might not be pure at this point, at least use it for something good. And if you're beyond that point, then we want to look at what comes next. St. Paul reminds us that we have not received a spirit of bondage, a spirit of slavery, leading us into fear, but rather the spirit of the sons of God. And so we are to act as the children of God. Now there may be a time, you look back when you were a teenager, that you were manipulating your parents or you were trying to figure out how you can get the most out of this. If I do it this way, maybe my parents will do that. But generally, that's not how we think. And we want what's best for our parents, and parents want what's best for their kids. And you're not sitting around thinking about, well, if I do this, what am I going to get from it? It's like, no, you're doing this out of charity. That's what it is to be the children of God. God is love, and we are called in that way to that charity. And then we aren't counting it up. We're not worrying about it. In fact, again, we look at the saints, and if they're going to be concerned at all about indulgences, it's for somebody else. They want to pray for someone else so that they can be released from purgatory. They want to pray for someone so that they can have a conversion, so their sins can be forgiven. They're not looking out for themselves. In fact, one of the things I find most fascinating when you read the saints, when they're almost to that point of perfection, they're in that final purification. And in that final purification, it feels to them like God has given up on them. There is no hope. They are being condemned. It is a horrible purification. God is removing the last vestiges of selfishness from their souls. And it's fascinating to read what they say. They are so in love with God at that point, but also absolutely convinced that God has finally said, forget it. There's no hope for you. You are too big of a sinner. You're going straight to condemnation. Forget it. And they say, then in hell, I am going to praise God and I'm going to love him. That's going to irritate Satan more than if I went to heaven. In other words, all that they're interested in is loving God and loving the people around them. They're not looking out for themselves. They're even willing to accept. If they're going to be condemned, they're going to go there and they're just going to love God. So you see how that selfishness is being removed as we grow. So the wisdom of the world is one of selfishness. The wisdom of God is one of selflessness. Or put that in another way, the wisdom of God is charity. That's what you and I are called to. And that's what we're striving for. So if we even have to start, as we all do, in that selfishness, we're sinners, we're broken. Like I said earlier, we don't begin as saints, but hopefully we will end as saints. So we start that process in a very selfish way. But hopefully we're looking to overcome that. Because even doing the right thing for the wrong reason, meaning that it's selfish, is still doing it out of fear. And St. Paul said, that we haven't been brought into this in order to be led back into fear. We don't have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of confidence. Not arrogance, not stupidity, not this nonsense that says, oh, I can do anything I want, God just loves me anyway, and he's just gonna forgive me and I'm going straight to heaven. No, 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 no. That's not even worldly wisdom, that's just plain stupidity. That's Satan at work in somebody's mind, if that's what we're doing. I'm simply saying that we have total confidence because we love the Lord. Now, that again sounds a little bit strange. Bring it back to your family. Should spouses not have that kind of confidence in one another? Should not children have that kind of confidence in their parents? That's what it ought to be. Now again, our selfishness sometimes keeps that from happening. But if we're truly loving one another, if children know that they are loved and they are trying their best to love their parents, they have confidence. They don't worry, is my parents gonna be angry? Am I gonna be in trouble if I try to do this? And by that, I don't mean do something stupid. I mean, you're trying to love them. You don't worry about getting rejected. You have confidence in that person because you know that they love you. And so if you're striving to love God, if you're striving to overcome the selfishness in your life, if you're striving to grow in virtue, if you're striving to develop your spiritual life and grow in holiness, then what happens is that the confidence in God grows because your love for God grows. You become more humble, not more arrogant. And yet at the same time in that humility, there is a greater confidence in the Lord. The fear is removed, and that confidence is instilled. That's what St. Paul is telling us that you and I already have. So if there is something in your life, and it doesn't have to be money, Jesus is just using that as the example. If there's something in your life that is ill-gotten, get rid of it. Get it out so that the devil doesn't have that to hold over you anymore. You can be free, whatever it happens to be. Look at whatever area of sin there is, because again, St. Paul says that we're to put to death the deeds of the flesh. Our society is all about the flesh in all the wrong ways. We need to put that to death. Then the devil doesn't have that to hold over us anymore. Then we have the freedom of the children of God. Not simply because we're not doing these things anymore, we're not, but because we are loving the Lord, because we're striving to grow in holiness. We have to learn to see this in a positive way, not in the negative way. People look at the Ten Commandments and they say, oh, it says, thou shalt not, they're all negative. No, 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 they're not. They're all positive. Just like parents set out rules for their children and say, no, you need to be home by this time and you can't be doing this or that. You know, your kids could look at it and say, oh, my parents are so mean and they won't let me do anything. Or they can look at it and say, my parents love me so much that they want only what's good for me. They don't want me to hurt myself. They don't want me to get in trouble. They want me to do what's best. That's what God is interested in. He's not trying to keep you under thumb. He's not trying to take away all your fun. He's trying to say, I want what's best for you because I love you. I want you to be able to thrive. These other things are going to rob you of life. What the devil is telling you is what's going to give you life is in fact taking it away. Now, many of us are old enough to be able to look back and recognize that, exactly the things that St. Paul talks about, the things that you used to even brag about, now you're ashamed of. It's wisdom that helps us to recognize that, not the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world says all these are the wonderful things, all these things that violate our own dignity, all these things that work against our own souls, all these things that destroy us from the inside, the very things that Satan wants to put out there to say, these are the best, this is what's good, this is what's fun and exciting and whatever. God is saying, no, that's destructive. If we have enough wisdom from experience, we recognize that now. That's what we want to pass on. And that's what we want for others. And so it's to be that example now for others. If God has given us that grace to see it, let's try to cooperate with that. Grow in holiness and be that example of holiness to other people, so that they can be on that same path. That way we help one another. It's not because we think we're better than someone else. I've got this and you don't, so I'll be an example. No. Because you're not interested in that. It's not selfish anymore. There's no pride in it. It's simply a matter of, out of charity for this other person, you want to help them. You want what's best for them, just as God wants what's best for you. That's the call for each one of us. That's what it is to live as children of God, with the Spirit of God that leads us into true freedom. So whatever it is that we have gained in negative ways, in wrongful ways, let's work to get that out of our lives, so that what remains is positive, what remains is edifying, what remains is who we were created to be. That is, the children of God who are animated by the Spirit of God and living according to that Spirit, so that we can honestly say, Abba, Father, that we can have that confidence in God without fear, because true love removes all fear, St. John said. That's what God wants for you. Not to live in slavery, slavery to sin, slavery to selfishness, but to know the true freedom of the children of God.